Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, good Monday, everybody. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to PurdyInsurance.com. I am safely ensconced in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, brought to you by Hilsers General Store. And that's 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Coming up tonight, it's not just the national championship between Alabama and Notre Dame, which we're going to talk about. I think Notre Dame is a great shot in this one, by the way. But it's also Penn State basketball tonight. One of the top five teams in the country will be here. Indiana is here tonight at 7 o'clock. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see. Indiana's a team that wants to take its foot and put it right through the pedal and just ram it right through the floor, okay? And I think that it's a team. I think Michigan is the best team in the Big Ten because they can beat you in multiple ways. They can beat you with pure defense. They can beat you with pure speed. They can beat you with shooting. They can beat you with an inside game. Indiana defensively has great statistical numbers. But the reality is they are a great offensive team that uses their offense to compensate for a lack of interest on defense. It is tonight in the Jordan Center at 7 this evening. And then when that's done, we'll watch Notre Dame and Alabama play for the national championship. A lot to talk about on today's show, and we'll come back and talk about all that and much more. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Care. It's a very important word with lots of responsibility and quality attached. When you find someone whose level of care is as high as the quality of care they provide, you know you found the right place. When it comes to full-service orthodontic, periodontal, and dental care, there's none better than Dental Care Associates. Care is in their name. They have been providing the highest level of dental care for almost 30 years. Some of their staff have been there over 20 years. See what true care really means at Dental Care Associates, Sealands Grove, 374-2424.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be rejoining us from the Sunbury Motors studio here in just a few moments. And don't worry if you're an Alabama fan, and I do know a few in this area, and they're very vocal about it. I'll balance things out here shortly with an Alabama fight song, too. But, you know, getting ready for the big game tonight, the national championship game. this game seems to have almost as much hype going for it as, like, the Super Bowl. I mean, when has it been that a national championship game for college football has gotten this much hype? Maybe it's because it's Notre Dame. Maybe it's because it's Notre Dame-Alabama. And as I said, I know a lot of Alabama fans here in this region. Some of them because of the success of Alabama. Some because they know people that graduated from Alabama. And, of course, Notre Dame has always had a huge, huge following. I mean, if you were a bowl game and you wanted to make some serious money, you would take Notre Dame barely qualifying for a bowl game just because you know that their fans are going to go follow the game. Now, Penn State's the same way. I mean, there's another fan base that has the nation's largest alumni association and will follow their team wherever, even to the Ticket City Bowl last year. But I thought I'd run some numbers by you as Steve gets ready to join us from the Sunbury Motors studio, because you know what's going to happen when he comes in. He's just going to make fun of all my research. So here's what we're going to do. The number one place kicker in the nation is going to be in the game today. It's Alabama's Jeremy Shelley. He is 63 of 63 in extra point attempts and 11 of 11 in his field goal attempts. I thought when I first saw that, I thought, wow, that's really impressive. And then I thought, 11 field goal attempts, that's one a game. I guess it's not so bad. I just thought that number sounded a little bit low. But 11 of 11. So if this game's a three-point game, you know, and Alabama's driving, you're kind of feeling pretty comfortable that that game could go into overtime. And then if you have a field goal kicker like that, you're feeling pretty comfortable in overtime. But some of the other numbers, two rushing touchdowns. That's how many were scored against Notre Dame this year. And this is an Alabama team that averages 5.6 yards per play on the ground. That's third in the country. And they're going up against a defense that's only given up two rushing touchdowns. Every other team in the nation has yielded at least five on the ground. Alabama's given up nine. But again, the Crimson Tide, as I said, rushing for 35 touchdowns on the ground this year against a defense that's only given up two. Some of the other fun numbers, seven victories apiece in 14 BCS National Championship games for the number one and number two team in the final BCS standing. So the number one team has won seven times, the number two team has won seven times, going back to 1998. Of course, Notre Dame number one, Alabama number two in the final standings. Eight victories without a loss for Notre Dame when the number one ranked team is on a neutral field. Thought that was an interesting one, too. The Fighting Irish 63-12-3 when ranked number one. Notre Dame played an SEC opponent while ranked number one three times. They beat Tulane, Georgia Tech, and Tennessee. Now, granted, some of these were in the 40s and 50s, but it's, again, fun with numbers. That's what we like to do. 9 points. That's how many Notre Dame has given up in the first quarter this season. The Irish outscoring their opponents 85-9 in the opening period. Alabama, though, has outscored its opponents 139-26 in the first quarter this season. So again, you're going up against a defense that's only given up 9 points and an offense that scored 139 points in the first quarter. 51 rushing yards given up on 53 third down runs by the Notre Dame defense this season. Think about that. 51 yards, 53 times. That is less than 1 yard per carry, according to collegefootballstats.com. That is an amazing number to me. That means if it's third and one, Notre Dame's defense has held basically every time. Now, obviously, that's not correct because this is an average, but you know, those numbers are just pretty astounding. Alabama has given up 90 yards on 66 third down rushing attempts. That's an average of 1.3 yards per carry. Now, that means they're going to give up a first down, but still, 1.3 yards is a pretty impressive number. And when you look at these two defenses, Notre Dame's played in 12 games. They've given up an average of 10.3 points a game. Alabama's played one more game, giving up 10.7. Now, if you look at that, you would say if you're going to play the over-under, might not be a bad idea to play the under in this one. But that puts it at 10.3 for Notre Dame defensively. Alabama at 10.7 defensively. And some of these numbers are so similar, it's amazing to me. Passing yards, Notre Dame's given up 23-38 to Alabama's 21-61. Rushing yards, Notre Dame's 11-19 to Alabama's 10-37. And interceptions, Notre Dame's gotten 16 interceptions, Alabama 18 interceptions. The big difference in this entire statistical fun that we're having here, Alabama has one interception for a touchdown. Notre Dame doesn't have any.
And when you look at the offense, Alabama, again, putting up 38.5 points a game, 5.6 rushing yards per play, third in the country of that. Notre Dame at 26.8 points a game and 5 yards per rush, tied eighth in the country. That, maybe that's why there's so much interest in this game, because statistically, boy, it really, really looks tight. And you wonder, can a good defense stop a good offense? You know, that old adage in Major League Baseball, especially for the World Series, can a solid pitching staff stop a solid hitting staff, a hitting offensive team? Can good pitching beat good hitting? That's what seems to be a topic all the time on the World Series. So we'll talk more about the national championship game, get Steve's thoughts on the game as well. Busy day today because we have a lot of things to talk about. If you have not yet had a chance to hear Coach Bill O'Brien here on the Steve Jones Show Friday, we have that available for you online at WKOK.com. Actually, you can go there, or you can go to SteveJonesShow.com and link up to the entire interview there. Of course, the archives are always available right after the show ends. So if you miss any of the program and you hear us talking about somebody we chatted with on the program and you want to hear it again, just go to SteveJonesShow.com and click archives for all that fun information. And that was a very hot page on Friday, I might add, with Coach Bill O'Brien making his first radio interview with Steve on here on the Steve Jones Show. So you never know who's going to stop by. Coming up in the next half hour, Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison will be talking about their week ahead and maybe looking a little bit at Lehigh, who lost C.J. McCollum. Sounds like 8 weeks now, and that is a big, big loss. I mean, here's a All-American that is going to be down for Lehigh. He is obviously the biggest part of their offense right now. They'll have to restructure their game. You know, Steve will give you some really good insight on that because he's seen that with Penn State. Penn State losing a lot of their offense and have had to restructure their offense since. So we'll get Steve's insight on C.J. McCollum's a potential 8 weeks away from Lehigh, and that comes right at the start of the Patriot League season. So not that there's any good timing for that, but that's definitely not good timing for the Lehigh Mountain Hawks. Almost said Engineers. I had a flashback there for a minute. We'll also have Dr. John Fury coming up here on the Steve Jones Show. One of the things that Dr. Fury from Sun Orthopedic is going to discuss with us in the next half hour, the situation with RG3. That has been a very, very hot topic. Should have Shanahan played RG3 in the first place in yesterday's playoff game? And if he did play him in the first place, should he have continued to play him after he was obviously hobbling in and out, on and off the field and in and out of the huddle? Earlier today, Robert Griffin III did tweet, which is no big surprise to anybody, I'm sure, but he said, "Many may question, criticize, and think they have all the right answers, but few have been in the line of fire in battle." And then he followed that up a little later with a tweet today that said, "I thank God for perspective, and because of that, I appreciate the system of support from everyone. I also appreciate the criticism." So the question is, what is the situation with RG3? What is his knee injury? How bad was it? And should he have played? We'll find out from an expert on knee injuries who's had some experience with that in the NBA. And we'll talk to Dr. John Fury again coming up probably in about 10 minutes after the news here on WKOK. Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors studio again in just a few minutes. And we'll also have an opportunity to chat with him on Steve's thoughts on whether RG3 should have played as well. I guess one of the other questions that you have to ask is, if you have a quarterback like Cousins as your backup, and we all know what Steve has said about Cousins over the last several months after the draft, why not use him a little bit quicker? Those are some of the questions we'll be asking. One thing that popped into my mind, and I'd love to get your comments on this on the Lenape Solar Hotline a little bit later on this afternoon, at 1-800-795-9565. Again, that is the Hilscher's General Store Hotline. Hilscher's General Store on Routes 11 and 15, just south of Sealands Grove in Port Trevorton, where, you know, right now would be a good time to stop by for the boots. And that's mainly because it's getting very squishy outside. If you had sneakers on over the weekend with all the snow melt, I stepped in the yard and it made funny sounds. Yeah, I wish I would have visited the wall of boots, everything you need from Carolina work boots, steel toe to Red Wing, and of course hunting boots, and just boots for kicking around in, if you'll pardon the pun. That's all available at Hilscher's General Store. And again, I'd love to hear your comment on what I'm going to say here in a minute on the Hilscher's General Store hotline at 800-795-9565 a little bit later on. My comment is in regards to the 15-yard penalty on the hit after, I believe it was the second touchdown pass that RG3 threw. There was a big hit well after, I felt, after the touchdown was signaled. There was no ejection, just a 15-yard penalty for a late hit. Now, here's my problem with that. In my mind, it was obviously a hit to send a message, quote-unquote, to RG3 by the Seahawks defense. The 15-yard penalty doesn't happen on the extra point. It happens on the kickoff. Well, big deal. The kickoff's going to go in the end zone anyway. So the Seahawks figuring, yeah, you might as well go ahead and take that shot. It looked like a cheap shot to me. My thought is, why not take that penalty after right before a touchdown like that and make it on the next offensive series? That makes you think twice about taking a cheap shot the way I felt the Seahawks did on RG3 toward the right after that touchdown. We'll get your thoughts, get Steve's thoughts as well. It's all coming up here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. John Furia up next talking about RG3's knee. What is the real injury? Or better yet, should he have played yesterday at all? Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Online too, stevejonesshow.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones getting prepared for Penn State basketball tonight. He'll talk more about that coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk some Bucknell basketball as well here on the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out about everything they can do to save you a few bucks at purdyinsurance.com. On the Hilscher's General Store hotline, joining me right now, from Sun Orthopedic, we call him our resident doctor expert. Resident sound. It sounds like you're gone back a few years if I call you a resident, John.
I think that's a good thing. Maybe I'll just forget the aches and pains I have when I go off for my runs nowadays.
Run, what's that?
Exactly. I don't do any running now. I think it's more of a 49-year-old shuffle is what it is.
I'm with you there, my friend. John Furia joining us from Sun Orthopedic Group. And, you know, you and I talked earlier today about the injury, and you mentioned something that I did not think about with RG3's injury last night in the playoff game. The way that knee twisted and the way that knee turned and the leg turned, it was obviously gruesome, but it brought back memories, as you said, of Joe Theismann's injury on Monday night.
Yeah, it sure did. Boy, I tell you what, in the Redskins playing, star quarterback goes down and you see a gruesome injury, and you see it over and over and over again. It just harks of Joe Theismann, and remember, Joe Theismann injury was career ending for him.
Yeah, that was absolutely a career. Now, it's obviously not the same injury, but it kind of brought that to mind. If it was let's say it was an LCL injury earlier,
right?
What's the difference between that and an ACL injury, which obviously is almost a full year recovery system?
Absolutely. Well, a couple things. So the ACL is on the inside of the knee. The LCL is on the outside part of the knee. And it's rare. It is rare to have an isolated lateral collateral ligament tear. I don't think that that's his injury. And, I haven't seen his films or had the privilege of an examination. I've seen the video numerous times and watched the plays. I don't think it's an isolated injury. I think he has at least two ligaments that have been injured, and we'll find out here shortly as I guess that the Redskins are going to release the MRI scan results to the public later on this afternoon, from what I understand. So that'll put the issue to rest. An isolated lateral collateral ligament injury, if it's just a partial injury, I guess can heal non-operatively. Typically, they occur in conjunction with either a posterior cruciate or an anterior cruciate ligament injury, and usually they require surgery.
You have to wonder, and you've been in this situation as a team doctor, especially at the NBA level, of making the judgment, is this player ready to play?
Right.
Can this player make the comeback? I'm not asking you to critique a colleague in the NFL of the team doctor, but what do you look for
in that situation if a player is ready to return or if it's a danger of more damage?
Right, that's a great question, and that comes up a lot. I help write the boards, the sports medicine question boards for the guys going through finishing up the training and getting certification in sports medicine, and that's the classic scenario. We ask that very question, what do you do? And the doctors, clearly, the obligation is to the player. So you always err on the side of caution to protect the player. And there are numerous factors and numerous pressures on the physician. The physician is oftentimes an employee of the team. The physician also has pressures from the player, the agent wanting to either see or not see their patients return, as well as coaches and teams. And it's a really difficult decision. And, you know, I empathize with the team docs because we have to make these decisions on the spot in the heat of battle. We've all been there. I've been there at Bucknell, and I've been there at, you know, different teams, and you have to make that decision on the spot. It's not always easy to do.
Well, there was a lot of pressure in this particular situation. Washington hadn't been in a playoff game in short of forever, a home playoff game yet. Here's your star quarterback, the guy that arguably got you to where you are right now.
Yep.
And now you have to make the decision, and like you said, keep in mind who signs the paychecks, too.
Sure. You know, it's almost a no-win situation for the physician, and I've been there also, where if you keep your star player out, then the team loses, you could be criticized for keeping your player out for a partial ligament injury, close quote. If you let your player play and he suffers further damage or has an injury that may be detrimental to the team, then it's a lose situation. So it's lose-lose in many instances. But, the onus is upon the doc, and it's clearly the case to, you know, responsibility has to be on protecting the patient when there's any doubt.
In this situation we're looking at, obviously the decision was made to let him play. Of course, a player is very rarely going to pull himself out of a game in this situation. In looking at the knee brace he wore, and I don't know if you've had a chance to see it in the photo.
I have.
Okay, good. The knee brace that he wore, what does that tell you? What is that knee brace supposed to do?
Yeah, it's supposed to try to immobilize the knee as much as it can and provide side-to-side and front-to-back stability. But unfortunately, I mean, it's just unfortunate. The literature is pretty clear that knee braces themselves cannot significantly control rotation or translation, which are the two vectors, the two forces that will cause the knee to shift and give way. They just can't control it, particularly in someone like a high-demand athlete like RG3. I mean, someone that's running so fast and then stopping and cutting on a dime. I mean, those forces are just way too powerful way too powerful, and a brace itself will not control those forces.
Something I haven't heard anybody discuss is that knee brace itself. Could that have led to more of an injury just because of the way it's supposed to immobilize and then the way that knee turned?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the answer is sure. I mean, could it possibly? Is that likely? No, I don't think so. I think the brace itself would hopefully improve the player's sense of position and balance, and also would have provided a subjective feeling of support and tightness to the knee. So I don't think it did any harm. I think, you know, the injury was there, and RG2, when he stepped back, had a twisting type maneuver, and if the injury is there and the knee is lax and loose and partially tore, those kind of forces will cause the knee to shift. And we also did see it on the replays. It's impressive. They had an impressive amount of shifting and rotation.
Yeah, I mean, that was scary. I mean, legs don't bend that way.
Well,
at least
well
they're
said.
Not supposed to.
No, well said. That's why I think it's probably going to be a multi-ligament injury, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, the latest word is from the Washington Post that the MRI, I don't know whether the MRI is done, but they're already talking about a second opinion.
Now, yeah.
As a doctor, you're going to speculate here. I'm asking you to speculate.
Sure.
What do you think that means from the organization's point of view? What do you think that they're seeing right now?
Yeah, I think that they're seeing a ligament injury or more than one ligament injury with possible meniscal damage. And it's pretty much the tried and true in the NFL that when the team physician makes a diagnosis that might require surgery, the athletes are oftentimes encouraged to get a second opinion. I would not be surprised if RG3 ends up in Alabama and seeing one of the prominent sports medicine physicians, Jimmy Andrews, in that location. He does a phenomenal job, and he tends to see many athletes who've had injuries and had everything done appropriately, worked up correctly, but just to have another set of eyes lay on the patient and speak to the patient, and it's encouraged. That's encouraged.
ACL, MCL, meniscus, if that is the situation, if there's a tear or damage to all three, what's the best recovery time, even in a situation in the NFL where you do have the experienced trainers and the top physicians? What's the best recovery time for something like that? And then give me your idea of how you think he might come back as a player. Where would he be?
Sure, great question. I'd say 6 to 9 months would be the estimated time of recovery, and I think that he would come back from that injury. I think that the patient, RG3, could absolutely get back to his pre-injury status. I think he could. I would much rather learn that indeed was the injury as opposed to a lateral collateral ligament injury, which tend not to do as well, or a combined posterior and anterior cruciate ligament injury, which also tend not to do as well. But if it's ACL, MCL, medial meniscus, which it very well may be based on what I've seen on this on the video, it looks like the laxity was more medial than lateral, then that's a recoverable injury.
Boy, for the first time, I think I've heard somebody say that, you know, an ACL, MCL, meniscus may be the better of the injuries.
Well, I think that the ACL an ACL, MCL repair / reconstruction in general does much better than the same thing with a lateral collateral ligament injury. The lateral side is still a bit of a challenge. Still a bit of a challenge in the sports medicine world. That's not to say people can't recover from it, but I'll be honest, it's a little more difficult.
You know, I want to go back to something you were talking about a few minutes earlier when we first started. Put yourself in a situation. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to make the decision or the recommendation? And you know, do you have those thoughts that go through your mind? You were talking about knowing who pays the bills, knowing the importance of the game. I mean, do you consider those things, or is your thought just, here's what he can do, here's what he can't do, here's what he should be doing?
Right, exactly. You know, the answer is, yeah, I always have thoughts, but the obligation and the reason why you do the job is to take care of the athlete, and that is your first responsibility, and that is always the guiding principle. So the answer is, when in doubt, you always pull the athlete. The situation comes up quite often in concussions and in people with possible neck injuries. Do you let up? Can remember one patient in particular, Bucknell. If you think that someone might have a real significant neck injury, you don't want to let those people go back playing. And it's a difficult thing to do if you have a star tailback who's scoring lots of points and it's a big game. Do you pull the player? And the answer is you do. You do. Because you try to do your best. You try to do what's right for acknowledging that you don't have all the information that you need, but you try to do what you can to protect the athlete as best as you can. And as you appropriately said, that's oftentimes a challenge because the coaches, players, fans, and teammates, everybody wants to see the player play. But you have to make the tough call to take the player out if indeed you think that they have a real injury that might get worse with further play.
John, thank you so much. Dr. John Furious, Sun Orthopedic Group, joining us here on the Steve Jones Show, discussing a little bit more about RG3's potential injury. Well, there's obviously an injury there, or what the extent of that injury is. Always great to have you on the program and get your insight. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. A pleasure to be here. You have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
John. Again, John Furious there from Sun Orthopedic Group on the Hilshire's General Store Hotline. And that hotline will be open in the next hour at 1-800-795-9565. We're going to have Dave Paulson from the Bucknell Bison in his weekly conversation. And Steve Jones will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few minutes. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's program sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Visit them online at purdyinsurance.com.
All right.
What was that with the elephant?
Mr. Symbol's an elephant.
Oh, okay. Oh, what did you say? We didn't.
I said
him.
Great. Your Symbol's an elephant. Fabulous.
Well, I wanted to balance it out. I had Notre Dame earlier, so.
Yeah, Notre Dame. He's done a nice job with them. It's a game that I think they'll win tonight. It's a game that they lucked into because of Stanford and Pitt. A bad call against Stanford. And I don't know what the heck happened with Pitt.
Choke.
And it's amazing how those who don't participate use the word choke a lot.
No, I participated in a lot of athletics, and I choked in a lot of them.
No, you just weren't good enough.
That may be too.
Yeah. So, I think the key to the entire game tonight is Everett Golson. If Golson is engaged and ready and doesn't let the moment get to him, he will give the Alabama defense problems. If he is rusty, if he is overwhelmed by the moment, then they are not going to win. And I don't even think Tommy Reese can bail him out.
What about the center for Alabama, Barrett Jones, and the ankle injury? Says he's 100%, but he's going up against a guy that's 320 pounds. You want to make sure that you're 100% when you're going up against a guy that's big, and you want to try and run the football up the middle.
Jones is as talented as any player on the offensive line in college football. He has played all three positions in his career, and he's played them all at a very high level. He will be good enough to play tonight. And that will be another one of the keys, Alabama's ability to run the ball. Eddie Lacy with the power game and the explosive T.J. Yeldon, who gives a burst to that Alabama offense that they don't have anywhere else. I think a lot of people get lulled into, first of all, everybody on the Alabama defense can run. Let's start with that. Almost everybody, one of the key things, the Dial kid's not going to be suspended. I mean, Terrence Dial's going to be able to play after what he did in the SEC championship game. The SEC didn't discipline him or anything like that. Okay, it's fine. It's cool. So if they didn't, I don't blame them. I mean, pull the kid aside, tell me, look, he'll run some stairs. It's all good. On offense, though, that's not the case. They have a really, really good offensive line. Might be the best offensive line in college football. Okay? And they have a dynamic duo at running back that are different backs, that when you bring Yeldon in, you have a certain style. When you bring Lacy in, you have a certain style. But they don't have a mobile quarterback, and they do not have a go-to wide receiver. They don't have that. And Notre Dame is good defensively. I mean, Teo's really good, obviously, but those guys up front are really, really good. I think tonight's going to be a relatively low-scoring game.
I would take the under.
So. I have no idea what the over and under is.
I don't know either. I'll find out, though, before this program's over. But Louis Nix III, you were mentioning that front line for Notre Dame. I mean, that is a big dude. At 6'3", 326.
Yeah, it's a load.
and he still thinks he's a fullback. That's his problem. He still thinks he's a fullback like in middle school, but it ain't there anymore.
No. And the kicking games are both okay. Kicking games are not awesome, incredible, or great on either side. They're both okay. So there are a lot of things in this game. You know, these are two schools with great reputations, without question. Great reps. You know, histories and so forth. But I can tell you right now, Joe Montana isn't playing quarterback tonight, and Major Ogilvie's not running the ball. Okay? You know, you got to go by what's on the field this time around. And I can tell you what's on the field this time around. Each team has holes. Notre Dame doesn't throw the ball well enough. That's why the Golston thing's such a key part tonight. And Alabama does not break games open at the wide receiver position. And neither team has a kicking game, which makes you sit back and go, "Ooh, wow." So.
Well, I want to go back to one of the stats that we ran here in the first half hour. There's one regular place kicker in the nation who hasn't missed a kick, and that's Jeremy Shelley from Alabama. He has 11. He's 11 for 11 in field goal attempts. And he's 63 of 63 in extra point attempts. My question to you is, 11 sounded like a small number to me.
Yeah, that's because he used two kickers. Cade Foster's a long-distance kicker. He's a kickoff guy.
That's
They only use Shelley on short field goals and extra points.
See, that's why 11 sounded like an awful small number to me.
Yeah, because he only kicks short field goals. Foster kicks anything over 40 yards, Cade Foster's baby.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were two options there.
That's why I'm on the show.
That's true.
You know, you got to remember, I've seen Alabama twice in person, okay, in the last 3 years. So it's not, you know, it's not like I haven't seen this group. You know, I can tell you firsthand watching the speed of a C.J. Mosley at linebacker where you sit back and go, really? He's a linebacker, really. So, and obviously I've seen McCarron in person, and I know how efficient he can be, and I know how accurate he can be. So that is tonight after we're done with Penn State basketball. It's the All Steve Jones Day.
Love those days.
And didn't you find the Bill O'Brien tone in today's press conference a bit different than the tone in our interview on Friday?
I saw the transcript, so I didn't see the tone.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. It was a little different. So, I understand the server blew up.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of hits at stevejonesshow.com to try and be able to hear Coach O'Brien's comments.
We'll go down to Miami and talk to Malcolm Moran about tonight's national championship game. Tom Deanhart, Big Ten Network Sporting News, joins us tomorrow. Dave Repson, Big Ten Network, on Friday. Greg Cosell, NFL Network, joins us on Friday. Greg Cosell, NFL Network, Friday to break down the playoffs for the weekend. Next week, Tim Brando. 3 weeks, Patrick McEnroe. Or 2 weeks, Patrick McEnroe. In 3 weeks, we'll get Jim Delaney on.
Can you write all that down for me?
WKOK passes out pens at every live broadcast. Don't you have one?
I can't write that fast.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.